Hello there, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass. This is Fabienne Fredrickson, millionaire business mentor and founder of both ClientAttraction.com and AttractClients.com, where you can receive your free audio CD, How to Attract All the Clients You Need at No Charge. It's my treat. Again, that's AttractClients.com, and welcome to the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass. To reach that next bigger level of greatness and professional success, you must be willing to step outside of your existing comfort zone and make the changes that seem to threaten your safe way of being, knowing that you are always safe anyway. There is no other way to jump from your current small fishbowl into that bigger fishbowl or the ocean that awaits you. Through these classes and the conversations I share with my guests who are all playing their own bigger game, the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass is focused 100% on you finding the inspiration, courage, and personal best practices to do the same. Consider it a required curriculum for success.
My guest expert today is Marcia Weider. Dream University's CEO and founder, Marcia Weider, is committed to helping 1 million dreams come true. The author of 14 books, she has appeared on Oprah, The Today Show, and was featured in her own PBS TV show called Making Your Dreams Come True. As a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, she urged readers to take the Great Dream Challenge. She is a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, along with thought leaders Jack Canfield and John Gray. As past president of the National Association of Women Business Owners, Marcia assisted 3 U.S. presidents and serves on the advisory board for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Marcia, it is so wonderful to have you here with us.
I feel like you and I have been orbiting around each other for a decade, so I'm thrilled and honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Me too. It's my pleasure. So I know that you are always looking to play a bigger game, and you live this, you know, this making your dreams come true thing. And I find that a lot of people in life and in business play a really small game. And I find that they could use inspiration on dreaming bigger. And before I ask you questions around that and you know, tap into your expertise and your mastery around this, I would love our listeners to hear just for a moment, perhaps about a minute, how did you get to do what you're doing today? What was the trajectory? How did you start your business? What was missing in the marketplace or in your life that brought you to this place today?
Let's see how I condense that down to 60 seconds. Well, I will tell you this. I really did see there was a need because I saw a lot of people who were working, you know, primarily to put food on the table. And I believe, you know, at one level we were created to create, and that it's our God-given birthright to create and live a life of joy, love, and abundance. And most of the people I was seeing weren't doing that. And when I announced to family and friends that I was closing my marketing and media business in the National Press Building in Washington, D.C., to move to California to help people achieve their dreams, they thought I had lost my mind. Yeah. They thought I would starve. They said things to me like, you used to be so credible. Can't you teach people goal setting? And although I think goal setting is useful and necessary, I'm really in swinging outside of just being realistic and to really open to the vision of, you know, who you are, why you are here, how do you really want your life to be, and then hopefully, if it's important to you, to be paid well for doing what you love. So it really did, my story, if I went all the way back, I grew up in a family that, you know, had grief and sadness. There was loss. The year that I was born, my older sister lost her hearing, and as she grew up, wound up becoming both blind and deaf, and I had a family that was filled with hopelessness and futility. And somehow in that, I became a compensatory factor. You know, I became Susie Hope, and you can do it, and you can go for it. But, the first big risk probably around that was actually imagining that I could turn it into a business. Now, I have a multi-million dollar business, but I had to have the courage to act in the face of a lot of naysayers and a lot of doubters and even my own fear, because I couldn't look around and see that there was anybody else that was doing it. And then it morphed into Dream University, and I've had my business now for over 30 years.
You know, I just got chills, so it's usually confirmation that we need to go here. But I know that when I quit my corporate job back in 1999, mm-hmm. my closest friend said to me, are you crazy?
Right.
Why would you walk away from a safe paycheck every 2 weeks? I don't support you.
I know.
And
I appreciate you saying it, and saying it so heartfully. And, you know, it's like we have to almost soften our souls and our voices, because at some level it's unbelievable. But the good news is that we've become some of the models and the role models and the mentors and the trailblazers for others, because I've helped thousands and thousands of people make up dreams and businesses that they're passionate about and then live into the creation. I mean, that's really what a visionary is. It's not like we have promises and guarantees and assurances, but we believe in something enough where we're willing to put our heart and soul into it. And the other reason that you touched upon, where I actually turned this into Dream University as kind of like an online campus, was because we did need and do need, and I still do need, the ongoing support of people who dream bigger than me, resources who can help me accomplish those dreams, but a safe place where I know that I can come anytime, day or night, share my dream, and I will be celebrated, encouraged, and helped along the journey, so that regardless of what our closest friends or our families might say, we know that there's a tribe out there, our kind of people, that believe in us and support us in taking the next step.
Yeah, well, that is one of the things that I teach, is you want to surround yourself with people who can champion you, who are at a mindset of seeing their future as bigger than their past.
Absolutely. I love that statement. You know, and
yeah.
I was shocked in the beginning that I also had to teach people how to dream, because we're so mired in reality and so busy living from our clocks and calendars that most of us compromise our dreams down to a life of mediocrity. We're overly realistic, instead of really opening to what we really want and then exploring possibilities and creative partnerships and other people that can help us, most of us have just, lost our ability to dream. Many people don't even know what their dreams are, much less how to accomplish the ones they have. And then worst of all, too many people look in their checkbook for evidence for whether or not the dream is a good idea, as opposed to looking in their heart for what they really want and then designing the strategy for other ways to make it happen that aren't just about writing a check.
Yeah, and so there is someone right now who's listening to us talking, and she is wanting to go for her big dream, and yet there is someone or several people in her life right now telling her to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up your cushy whatever it is to go after that silly dream of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I know that silly dream of hers is divinely given. She didn't just make it up. It is part of her purpose. It's part of her calling, and it's her soul's path. And it is tugging, it is pulling her into her future. But then there's all these naysayers and all those fears that come up, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of overwhelm, fear of humiliation, fear of rejection. Everything is coming up at her. And yet that inside, she knows this is the right thing to do. What would you say to her as she's listening to us right now?
Great question. Two things are bubbling up. One is, reality is an important part of the mix. You have to know where you are in order to design the strategy for where you want to go. But the question is, what has being realistic cost you? If you're overly realistic, it can cost you your passion and your dreams. Medically speaking, it's been shown that people with passion and dreams live 7 to 10 years longer. I mean, there's so much that comes from going for our dreams, and there's a high cost of being overly realistic. The other thing that I would say is that if you have not dealt with your own doubt and you meet another doubter on the road, their doubt will magnify yours. But if you've dealt with your own doubt and you meet another doubter on the road, by contrast, it becomes the opportunity to deepen your commitment and your conviction to your dream. Develop the ability to talk to anyone, anytime, any place, and to stand strong in what your dream is, and life will transform. I mean, I've seen people go further with passion and commitment than with skill, experience, and gobs of money sometimes. So, you know, often it's like, well, I'm not going to share my dream with that person because they're a dream killer, or that person reminds me of my mother. And after a while, we start to narrow the playing field. And rather, I believe in order to master manifestation, the ability to achieve any dream, you must master the skill of enrollment, your ability to share your dream, vision, products, or services with the world in a way that inspires them to join you, to hire you, maybe even to invest in you. The obstacle called not enough money often disappears when you can inspire people. And the quick four-step process that I teach for enrollment is, you know, establish rapport. People have to like and trust you. Number two, build value. Ask really good questions. The obstacle called you're too expensive disappears when you're delivering more value than you're charging for. Step number three, overcome objections. By doing more of one and two, establish more rapport, build more value. And finally, step number four, secure, you know, an agreement. What next step are you going to take together? I would sum all of that up with get in touch with what you really care about and then provide a compelling and clear invitation for people to join you. A lot of what we teach at Dream University is the inner and the outer. The inner is what you touched upon. What is your purpose, your mission, your calling? Who are you at a soul level? And then what do you need to say? Where do you need to stand inside yourself? You know, to really be in integrity with your message and make the lifelong shift of having your ego being in service to your soul instead of your soul being hijacked by your ego. So I think when we are authentic, when we have something that we're passionate about and we truly can paint a picture for people to see the value and the worth of what we have and we make it easy for people to say yes, they often will.
Ah, beautifully said.
We rolled a lot into that answer.
Yeah. Well, like me, you offer a lot of value with every sentence. I love that. Marsha, was there a defining moment in your own process that made you think, you know, I can no longer afford to play small like this. I have got to go beyond my current limits. I've got to get out of my comfort zone. And if so, would you describe that moment or that series of moments for us?
Yeah. You know, for me, it tends to happen every couple of years. Yeah. You know, I used to really judge myself as a serial entrepreneur because I would often start something, leave it behind, and start something else. And now I have deep appreciation for my ability to have the courage to create. Mm-hmm. And I can just tell you one that happened just recently. And, you know, so for many years, I've trained and certified life coaches. We call them dream coaches. It's a brand that we own. It's a million-dollar brand. And it really became core to the business, and it became our biggest revenue stream. So people would come. They would learn from me this profound process, this inner and outer and integrity at a soul level. And then some of them would take it out into the world, and many wouldn't. And I could just feel that, you know, because it was financially successful, and just because I was very good at doing it didn't mean it was the thing that I was called to do. And I have really practiced over the last 30 years really listening to my soul's calling and having the courage, sometimes faster than others, but to say no more to what's no longer true so I can say now what to what's really important. And I have a foundational belief that if somebody else can do what I'm doing, then I'm probably off purpose, because I actually believe each and every one of us is called to do something very, very noble and important. And, you know, I recently had Mary Morrissey on stage at an event that I do, and Mary talks about dreams, and people said to me, why would you put your competition on stage? And I just looked at them. I said, nobody's my competition. Nobody does what I do the way that I do it. So anyway, the big aha for me was I was trying to be all things to all people. And I was working too hard, and I was burning myself out. And I thought, if I burn myself out, there's no way I'm going to fulfill upon my mission. So I finally made the decision to pull the plug on the Dream Coach training. We're turning it into an online certification, and we'll see what happens with that. But I didn't know what was next when I pulled the plug, and that was really interesting and exciting. So I created this open space for something new to show up. And my team came to me and they said, you know, Marcia, you've stopped our biggest programs. We really need to do one event. And I said, well, I'm not going to schedule an event unless I'm really clear that it's something I'm called to do. And I prayed and I meditated and I journaled and I spent some time on a passion quest. And I dreamt up this program called the Wealthy Visionary Conference. And the reason I came up with it was I had this big dream of helping a million dreams come true, and I didn't have the finances or resources to do it the way I wanted to. And I felt this frustration that there had been times in my life that I had no vision, but I had the resources. And this was a time in my life where I had vision. Did I say it right? You know, that I either had one or the other. I either had a great vision, but I couldn't afford to finance it, or I had the resources, but I didn't have a clear vision. So I said, well, I'm going to put on this event called the Wealthy Visionary Conference, and I want it to be different than anything I have ever done. So the first thing I did was I hired an event management company and full-blown set designer and stage designer and audiovisual company. And before we ever announced the event, I was $100,000 in the red. And I had never done that before, because our programs, they're so solid in the content and the structure and the ritual in terms of how they're all held, that our programs have always been successful, and I never needed to do it. But I knew that this Wealthy Visionary Conference was an initiation for me into living my life differently. And I invested a lot of money in it. We had the event. It was 17 speakers. I only allowed some of them to sell, so it wasn't a big pitch-a-thon. And all along, I kept spending more and investing more and cutting back on the ways that we would generate revenue. And a couple of things happened. One was, we raised $50,000 to build two schools and two Dream University villages for Cynthia Kersey. I know that's something you've been involved in as well.
Yes.
And that was a game changer. So, again, I'm taking my revenue and I'm giving it away. Mm-hmm. Giving it away. And to tell you the truth, we had a million dollar event. So it stretched me into a whole new way. And here's the best part of it. I saw how I was trying to be all things to all people, and I made a very strategic decision about my business. One is, I would give away as much content as I possibly could. If anybody goes to dreamuniversity.com, there's an opt-in sequence there for like 3 half-hour videos, giving away like 600 pieces of content. Give it away. And then for the high-end people who really wanted more access to me, I began offering a one-day in-depth visioning VIP strategy day with me, or a mastermind over a period of time. Well, the mastermind was $10,000 a person. I limited the group to 10. We immediately sold out 4 of them. And my goal was to do 5 one days, and we sold out 20 of those at $15,000. So all of a sudden, I have a $1 million business model working about, you know, the masterminds are just 2 weekends. So that's 40 days. 60 days on my calendar, $1 million business model, I'm completely free to speak where and when and how I want to. In the room, we sold the Wealthy Visionary Conference for next year. People can buy tickets for right now for $397 and get the DVDs and all of that stuff on our website. But I pre-sold it to 120 people for next year without knowing at all what it would look like or who one single speaker was. So what all of that adds up to, if I can try to name it, was really having the courage to say no more to what's no longer true, with the intention of really using my God-given gifts to play a bigger game, to serve everybody. I can now serve all the freebie people without being involved in them, so I feel generous rather than resentful. I feel I'm back to my million-dollar model with so much free time that I'm available to say yes to my board responsibilities with Make-A-Wish or a speaking opportunity that really does meet and fulfill my heart. And most importantly, I feel like I have a wide open canvas right now to continue the creation of this new creation where I'm bringing more of myself to the world in a way that can really make a contribution.
Yes, I really love that idea of saying no to something that's worked really, really well, but it's not where you're going next. And in full transparency, I'm at a place in my business right now where for me to get to the next level of meaning and fulfillment and walking in right into my calling in a deeper way, mm-hmm. I must begin doing my business differently.
So I want to say, I so love that you're so transparent. I love you more in this moment, you know, and because as a true creator, which you are, as a true creator, you know, the courage to stop and empty for a period of time. I was saying no more, no thank you for a couple of years to more and more things. My staff was getting nervous. My colleagues, once again, were rolling their eyes at me just like they did 30 years ago. And I said, you know what, if nothing else, I'm going to live my life true to myself. And as long as I keep going and doing, there's no empty space for something new to actually show up. And ironically, you know, you said earlier, you know, we don't just make up our dreams. Well, at one level, we do. That's, you know, where dreams come from, we make them up. But what you were referencing that I so wanted to come back to and punctuate is the who we are that's making it up is the deepest calling of our soul. So I believe that we were seeded for something long before our birth to be part of a creation, this, you know, this holy awakening that's happening. And those of us that are successful and creative will often just keep going. You know, when I started threatening 3 years ago to pull the plug on the Dream Coach training, people thought it was just a marketing ploy. Well, it took me 3 years because I was nervous and I was afraid and, you know, I wanted to just put something else in the space. But really, the depth of the vision and clarity and joy and passion came as I created more and more space to drop more fully and deeply into myself. Because I think there's two things you can't do in the fast lane. One is deepen and the other is integrate. So I'm celebrating you for declaring that you know you're being called into something new and next. And just you putting that out here and sharing it with your community and with me as a colleague, I think that really does say to the world you're serious about it and that it's time.
Yes, yes, I believe so. I also, this was said to me in a channeled session a few years ago, that you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes you can just get a babysitter. And it's direct from source. Okay?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's not about shutting down, like in the way that you're doing it. You're not completely shutting it down. You're transitioning the business model around the coach training, and which is where I'm going. But I would like to punctuate something that you just said, because I've been smiling ear to ear in this conversation, because these are my favorite types of conversations. And I'd like to underline two words that you just said, and I'd like to dive deeper into it. You called it the holy awakening. Mm-hmm. I call it a shift in consciousness. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what you mean by holy awakening, and let's talk about this for a moment.
So I've never said it that way before, so thank you for coming back to it. But it really does feel true to me that it's, regardless of what's going on in the economy or in our own personal checkbooks, it's never been a better or more important time for us to really have the courage. Now, for me, at a personal level, you know, it has to do with, you know, age, being at midlife, realizing that I don't have a limitless amount of time, and I have a mission, a calling. And I actually think that at one level, we are born as essence. we are wounded early in life, and that wounding forms our story, our personality, and our identity. Well, at midlife, which is a mindset more than a number, hopefully we begin to turn back consciously through our identity with curiosity of, who else am I? You know, have I become so identified with my story that I've forgotten that I'm a creator? We consciously go back as a mature adult through the wound, and we see that maybe at a certain level, God, essence, spirit, source, orchestrated the entire thing for us to fulfill upon our holy duty in service to this holy awakening. And for me, the holy awakening is simple. We're here to remember who we are, the one, the light, the source, love, God, however you talk about it. The essence of who we are is truly one, it's truly perfect, it's truly beautiful. Personally, I use joy as my barometer to know when I'm on track. When I'm in my joy, I'm moving closer to home. When I'm in my grief or sorrow or struggle or complaining, I try to catch myself in the act and shift to a higher state of consciousness, and hopefully I shift more often and more quickly. And I think as each of us remembers the essence of who we are and we de-identify with our story and reclaim the essence of love that we are, that the world truly can become enlightened, heal, and even more beautiful than it already is.
How nice is that? Do you sense this shift in consciousness? I see it as a shift from greed and competition and taking and accumulation for accumulation's sake toward a consciousness of love and passion and collaboration and giving. How do you see it as I see it, and how does it show up for you?
Well, I think we're shifting it at every level, every moment. Peter Diamandis was one of our speakers at the Wealthy Visionary Conference, and he's the author of the book called Abundance and the X Prize, and, you know, financed the $10 million prize for space travel. And he says every resource we need is available to us. And that's even a shift in consciousness, because we've been told that we're running out and there's so many problems. And the good news is that every conversation opens up more conversation. I do think with generosity, we create more. With an abundance mindset, you know, there's more than enough love to go around. There's more than enough food to go around. There's more than enough money to go around. And I think when we pull into ourselves and we contract and we constrict and we believe the story, as opposed to continually creating the creation, you know, I think there is this kind of, I don't have a doomsday mindset, but I think every moment we have the opportunity to choose, you know, with Marianne Williamson last night, so love or fear, you know, abundance and generosity and giving, you know, or something else. I was recently meditating and I had this image, and then I saw it played out in a wonderful cartoon movie that Pixar made called Wreck-It Ralph, or Wreck-It
yes.
Like Ralph.
Yes, Wreck-It Ralph. Believe me, I know it. I have three little kids.
Well, if you look at that from a pattern level, you know, there's a big, you know, there's a lot of agreement about staying stuck in the old story. And what I really saw is there's all these programs running, and what changes the program from something two-dimensional, flat, you know, wake up, go to work, make money, come home, put food on the table, go to sleep, do it again, what changes everything is caring or gratitude. So I think anytime we can embody a mindset of true, what do I really care about, you know, and what am I truly grateful for, I think that changes the vibration from one of judgment, criticizing, lack, and limitation. And trust me, I grew up in a family, you know, depression parents. So I grew up in a family where you looked for what was wrong. You waited for the other shoe to drop. I'd be walking down the beach with my mom. I'd say, what are you thinking about? She'd say, I'm worrying. I'd say, about what? She'd say, give me a minute. You know, so I did grow up in a family. People often say, well, you're so optimistic. You must have grown up in such a positive environment. No, it's a conscious choose I make every choice every day. I call it the practice of everyday enlightenment. Spend more time in the light, being positive, optimistic, generous, caring, grateful. Less time in the dark, being hijacked by my own or other people's doubt, fear, limitations. And then third, practice living a life of virtue. And I think the king or queen of virtues is integrity. And what I mean by that is nothing activates the voice of the doubter faster or more than saying you're going to do something and not doing it, or saying you're going to do something and doing something else. So I think a great path of healing for us is to get clear about who we are, what is it that really matters to us, and demonstrate that it matters, our dream matters to us more than our doubt by taking action on it. I think that's really a path of transformation. And what you're talking about that I think is so wonderful is I think it's very critical during these times to get comfortable with uncertainty. Yeah. We're just living in times. As we go back to the initial question you asked, there's so much change going on, and there's good, bad, right, wrong, light, dark. I mean, I think, you know, it's all the lens that you look at it. I just see it all as life. But I think if we can become comfortable with uncertainty and we can always remain the calm within the chaos, then I think we're bringing our highest gifts and service to the planet's awakening at a time where the life could use a little stability. And the way to get comfortable with uncertainty, I think, is to do something you don't know how to do. I took up French cooking, and after I put on 10 pounds, I thought maybe there was a better way. So I switched to abstract painting, and by exploring something I didn't know how to do, I started to discover a whole new part of myself that I didn't know, and that became an important part of that passion quest that I went on that eventually gave me, out of the comfort with uncertainty, I developed more skill and capacity to be in the face of the unknown. And let's face it, at a spiritual level, the path to the divine is unknown. So I think the more comfortable we can get with unknown and uncertainty, the more we can meet life with an open heart.
Well, I believe that. You know, we've all heard the saying that the magic happens when you live outside of your comfort zone. Mm. And here's how I say it, and here's how I live it. I would much rather feel a low grade level of discomfort, knowing that I am stretching myself beyond my comfort zone, rather than, and there's no judgment in this, or perhaps there is, but I'll just say it anyway, rather than living a life where I'm sitting in my lazy boy, watching reality TV, stuffing my face with, you know, whatever it is, Doritos, and not being alive. I think when we stretch beyond our comfort zone, there is this feeling of aliveness, even if it's slightly uncomfortable. And like anything, I believe that when you do something long enough, even being in slight discomfort, you get really comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. And so I agree. That's a whole paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you can always draw upon that. I mean, one of the things that gave me strength in investing so much money in this Wealthy Visionary Conference and think about it. I was turning off the faucet, on where all the revenue was coming from while I was opening to something unknown. But what gave me the strength to do it was remembering back when I first started my Dream University company. And everybody said that it was a bad idea. Now, I wasn't out of pocket so much. There wasn't so much financial risk, but back then it felt like everything. You know, I was closing my marketing business in Washington, D.C. and moving to California to start a whole new life around something that people told me would fail. So I think each time we do make that stretch that you referenced so beautifully, we are a little bit larger. We have a little bit more capacity, and we can always look back on our history and use that as the frame of reference of, you know, I really do know how to do this. I often like people to ask people to go back to, think of a time that you accomplished a dream in your life, and who were you being? And what part of you got lost? Where did you lose the essence, where you were courageous, where you were fearless, where you weren't afraid to take a risk, where you were being audacious? And the other question I like to ask into the future is, what dream must you accomplish in order to die happy and fulfilled? You know, I think that helps us really course correct. Because, you know, I said it earlier, I think I'll say it again, just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's the best use of your life. And just because you have success just because something's working. And I agree, you know, I like the babysitter approach as well, you know, and I also like the what's no longer true for me. For us as successful, busy women, for everyone listening to this, what your ability to say no more or no thank you or no way to what's no longer true for you, for things that you're complaining about, whining about, things that are sucking the life out of you, or simply things that are now out of integrity with your soul, for you to say no more without immediately filling that gap up with something else is like mana. Because there, you know, the empty space is where creation can really come forward. Spend some time on a passion quest. Take some time to do what you love, to discover who you are now. Because who we are in our 40s, 50s, and 60s isn't who we necessarily were in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. So what a beautiful time to discover what do you love now? What do you long for? If time and money were not issues, if you did have the support of the people around you, what would be your stretch? And for many of us to discover that, taking a little time to rest and empty and make space is a real blessing.
Wow. I like you so much, Marcia.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad we're finally connected.
I can envision us sitting cross-legged on two sofas right next to each other with a cup of tea in hand and talking for 5 hours straight.
I can see the same thing. Well, let's plan to do that because I absolutely are you going to Cynthia's gala? I think you are.
Yes.
Well, we'll meet there. I have three tables there. So,
great.
You know, and I know I was, you know, part of why I offered to do the fundraiser for her at my event was because I had heard how successful it was at yours. So thank you for being a trailblazer in that. I appreciate that. I was very inspired to hear it and then to do it. And now I'm a spokesperson to other people why they should do it.
Tingles everywhere. Thank you, Marcia. Before we wrap up, because I know that the folks listening today would like to keep you for several hours, but I believe that most every successful person has one or more personal mantras, a belief that they live by, or a saying that inspires them, that speaks the truth. I have several. One of them is just always staying in a positive, a place of positive expectation. So the thing that I continually say, it's up here in my office, it's at home, my kids have it on their nightstands, my husband has it in his office. The saying is, I am positively expecting great results no matter what I see in front of me, because I know the universe is rearranging itself for my best interest right now. That is what I believe in, and that is what we create from.
Wow, that was a gift for me. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And I create from this space. Mm. And so for you, if we were to get into the heart and soul of Marcia Weider, what is one of your driving principles, a mantra that you live by?
I would say don't look in your checkbook for evidence of whether or not your dream is a good idea. Don't seek out promises, guarantees, and assurances. And the simple phrase is, can you believe in something simply because it matters to you? And then prove that it matters to you enough that you're actually going to take action to make it a reality.
Yeah, I love that. Love that.
Pretty, pretty simple. Pretty, pretty simple.
And yet, massively
profound.
Well, thank you, Marcia. You've given us so much great food for thought today, really paradigm-shifting thoughts and questions. And I know that there are some people on the line who will express interest in knowing more about you and staying connected with you. I know that you have many resources. Would you share one resource with them?
Yes. First of all, my main website is dreamuniversity.com. And if you opt in at the top of the page, there's a free product called Turn Dreams to Dollars. And there's three very rich videos so that money will never be the thing that stops you from going for what you're really called to do. And then if you're interested in knowing about the Wealthy Visionary Conference, there's a button right on the homepage. We're offering the DVDs from last year, the live stream. last month, we just had the event, the DVDs, the live stream, and a ticket for next year for like $397. So the free gift, dreamuniversity.com, right on the homepage. And then if you just right there in the middle, you'll see Wealthy Visionary Conference. Check it out, and if that calls to you, that might be a small investment that could certainly yield you a tremendous return of really networking with high-level visionaries who, as I just said, are committed to not having money be the thing that stops you from creating your mark, making a legacy, or creating a contribution in the world.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Marcia.
Thanks for having me. Much, much love, and I look forward to girlfriend time.
Me too.
Bye-bye.
If you're new to the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass, I'd like to make sure you know about the free audio CD available to you called How to Attract All the Clients You Need. It's full of immediately actionable, incredibly useful information to get you more clients in the next 90 days. There is no catch, no gimmick, no sales pitch. It's simply my way of saying thank you for tuning into this show. And yes, I am offering it to you at no charge. I even pay for the shipping anywhere in the world. All you do to get your free CD is go to attractclients.com and request it today. And if you liked today's episode of the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass, you can download or listen to other masterclasses from this show on iTunes or by going to iloveplayingabiggergame.com. If you have friends, colleagues, or clients who would benefit from playing a bigger game, pay it forward and share the love by letting them know about iloveplayingabiggergame.com. Again, thanks so much for joining us today. This is Fabienne Fredrickson sending you a big virtual hug. Mwah. Until next time, live life like you mean it. Bye, everybody.